Labor and Commerce will come to order at 3:05 on April 2nd. With us are Representative Gardner, Representative Book, Representative Ledoux, Representative Newman, and myself, Chair Olson. The only item on the agenda today is House Bill 383. It will be presented by Karen Lindster from Representative Coghill's office. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Karen Lindster, and I am staff to Representative John Coghill. And the bill before you, House Bill 383, was brought to Representative Coghill by Dr. David Eichler, who not only is the president of the Alaska Dental Board, but also a constituent of Representative Coghill. And we are hoping to make a small change in the statute that would allow the state to capture the talent and expertise of many military dentists who no longer are involved with active clinical practice, but instead serve in command supervisory positions. We do have the support of the Alaska Dental Society and the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. These professionals have a great deal to offer, and it is in our best interest to allow this exception of serving in a full-time supervisory position in lieu of the 20 hours a week of active clinical practice. I am here to answer any questions. I have given notice to Dr. Eichler. I hope he is also online.
He is online.
And Jenny Strickler from Department of Commerce and Occupational Licensing is hopefully also here if you have any specific questions.
Has there been any opposition to the bill?
Mr. Chairman, there has been no opposition.
Yes, there's been none to my office either. We've been joined by Representative Gatto. Representative Booth, got a question?
I did. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Legislative Aide Lindster, I was wondering how often does the dental board meet? I understand that the president of the board is in support of this, but it doesn't have the support of the board only because they haven't met, and I was just wondering what the schedule is of the board.
Through the chair, Representative Book, I am not sure, but if Dr. Eichler is online, you could ask him specifically. And I actually shared that information with your staff member from the testimony that Dr. Eichler had given previously.
Dr. Eichler, are you online?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Regards to the representative's question, the board meets quarterly exact schedule. We last met the 7th and 8th of February.
Dr. Eichler, for the record, could you state your name and affiliation so I have it for the clerk?
I will. This is Dr. David Eichler. I'm a dentist in private practice in North Pole.
Thank you. Appreciate your question. Do you have any idea when the next scheduled meeting of the board is, Doctor?
Yes, that's the 27th of June.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
If I may, with the chairman's permission.
Please continue.
Yes. This is an issue I've tried to get addressed for quite some time. I didn't go through the process of going through the board and the department and that process to present the bill, but rather just went personally to Representative Coghill, and I wasn't sure when this would come up, and it finally got drafted out of the legislative drafting here after our last meeting. Otherwise, I would have had it presented to the board at that time. But I haven't heard any opposition. The board has been, the other members have been notified of the bill, and I haven't had any comments from them.
Actually, Representative Newman, and then back to Representative Boot.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Eichler, Representative Newman, you've got some military bases up there in your part of the world. How would this affect your business? I'm trying to measure that.
I don't think it's going to affect business at all. at any one time, there's probably not more than two people in the state that would that might be affected by this bill, and they're typically going to be the lieutenant colonels or full colonels who are the commanders of the dental activity in the state or in the region. They don't practice clinically anymore. Their work is all confined to administrative duties in seeing that the dental needs of the military are met. So they don't meet the 20 hours of clinical practice a week the credential statute currently requires. Anybody else that practices in the military would qualify under the present statutes. But these people don't, and it's just merely an oversight that I was trying to correct.
Yeah, so that's, I'm just trying to think of anybody might be able to make a statement who's in private practice that says this takes business away from them or anything. That's not feasible, is it?
I don't think that anybody, it would affect anybody. There's lots of former military public health dentists in Alaska, and that's where a lot of our needs are being met right now, I believe.
Well, I think it only helps. Thank you, Dr. Eichler.
Representative Book?
Thank you, Chairman. Dr. Eichler, the question I have, this is a highly skilled profession. Some of my friends are dentists, and I keep in contact with them quite a bit. And unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at this, they maintain their skills through continuing education, through meetings that they have outside the state with all the latest technology and medicines and so forth available. In your considered opinion, not having practiced clinically for a number of years, would that diminish the skill and would that reduce patient care?
I've considered that issue. I don't think that will cause a problem, in my opinion. Of course, I can't be absolutely certain of that, but there's a few things I think will mitigate any problem here. For one, these are all going to be people that have at least 20 years experience clinically before they get into the command positions. We're talking people that the military typically has far and away more continuing education than we even require in the state for our continued competency of the dental profession. These people have they've served in a group setting where they're practice is observed by a lot of people, and they've been gone through years of supervision, and they're not practicing in a vacuum, so to speak. Other people see their work, and they are promoted based on their abilities. The other thing is, I think these dentists thought that their clinical skills were not up to their standards, it would be my opinion that they would correct that by seeking whatever they needed to do to get their skills up to par. So I don't think that's going to be an issue as far as their clinical standards and clinical skills will be. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Representative Ledoux.
Thank you. Dr. Eichler, I noticed that on page 2, lines 14 and 15, it talks about a dentist who works in a full-time supervisory capacity in an agency of or the armed forces of the United States. Is the bill's intention that working in that supervisory position being a supervisory position over dentists or any supervisory position?
Dentists would be my assumption here, since this is the bill is only affecting the Dental Practice Act.
Thank you.
follow-up?
My concern here is that somebody could be a dentist, have gone to dental school, and then be working in a supervisory capacity in something that has absolutely nothing to do with dentistry. I mean, and unless I'm missing something, I think that maybe the way the bill is written, that we might want to tighten it up a little bit if the intention, as you've stated that it is, and as I assumed it was, is just to include people who are supervising dentists.
I see your point, and that's something that I think you're correct and could be addressed to make that more specific. What we're trying to do with the bill is correct an unforeseen oversight, and maybe you picked up another one here.
Thank you.
Representative Gardner, followed by Representative Gatto.
Thank you, and thank you, Dr. Eichler. I guess I have kind of the same concern as Representatives Ledoux and Book, and I understand from your testimony that we're talking about somebody who maybe has 20 years of clinical practice and then makes it to the rank of colonel or lieutenant colonel and becomes a supervisor, which may or may not be of dentists. And the person might be a fabulous supervisor, but quite frankly, if they've been doing that for 5 or 10 years and then are practicing dentistry, I'd be a little reluctant to go to them. If I knew they hadn't actually been practicing dentistry for some years and didn't have to pass an exam here in the state. Can you comment on that?
I can, and I see your concerns. Presently, you may hold an Alaska license and do exactly what you've stated. You don't have to practice to maintain that license, and there's a lot of people that have a license in the state that don't practice, and any time they want, they could go back and practice, and there's nothing that prevents them from doing that. The reason it's not a concern to me so much with the military dentist is I'm confident that the people that have reached that status in their military career are competent clinically and ethically to maintain those ethics in their practice and make sure that their skills are not just adequate but exemplary in their practice. So for this group of people, it's not a concern to me for so much, but I do recognize that for some people it might be.
Thank you.
Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Dr. Eichler, I had similar thoughts. I was looking back, though, in Section 1 with respect to Representative Ledoux's question. It said right there in the very beginning, A, the board shall provide for the licensing without examination except as provided in 2 of this subsection of a dentist who, 1, provides certification to the board. And so 1 covers A, B, C, D, and D, of course, is the modified section of the bill. So we are referring very clearly to subsection of a dentist who, 1, provides certification to the board. And then we get down to question 2, which has already been asked. You know, you guys go TDY in the military, and who knows, active duty in Afghanistan, you might be putting on a uniform and treating people with damaged feet or something because you're the only person available to do it, and you haven't seen a broken tooth in 2 years, and then come out, would you say that person maybe should have some continuing education before, never mind they want to, just being allowed to move right into start working inside people's mouths?
Well, I think that's just further exhibits what I've covered before. You don't have to practice dentistry to maintain a dental license. In fact, the dentists for the Guard in Alaska, they don't really practice much dentistry in their guard duties. I had clinical instructors at dental school that were called up in Desert Storm in the early 1990s. They didn't practice dentistry. They went and replaced people at Travis Air Force Base or certain other facilities. Didn't do dentistry while they were called up, but they maintained their dental license. I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Representative Ledoux?
I'm wondering if it's less of an issue because if I'm reading it correctly, these dentists who are going to get admitted without an examination have to be in good standing in the state in which they're originally licensed. Is that correct?
That is correct. They all hold a license in some state to practice with the military already.
So would this mean, because they are holding a license in another state, that in order to be in good standing in that other state, that they at least have to keep up with the continuing dental education requirements of the state that they're licensed
in? That's correct. And to obtain the license in Alaska, they have to show evidence that they've had 42 hours of continuing education in the most recent 3 years that they're applying. So the requirements are there.
So they would have to, even though you wouldn't be making them be engaged without the examination, all right, they don't have to do the average of the 20 hours a week.
That's the only exception we're providing.
They still have to meet Alaska standards of continuing dental education. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you. Dr. Eichler, can you tell me if we have dental license reciprocity?
In the strictest sense of the term, no, we don't. We have licensure by credentials for dentists who have licenses in another state, and that's what this whole section of the statute applies to, is the standards of the state of Alaska requires of those dentists who hold a license in another state who wish to obtain a license here. It's not strictly reciprocity. In that sense of the term, where all they need to do is fill out some forms and they're automatically granted licensure if they do have a license somewhere else.
Thank you. So in follow-up, just to be sure I understand, is it fair to say that what this bill is doing is waiving an Alaska state requirement for specific dentists who are currently licensed elsewhere?
The only requirement that's being waived is the requirement for active clinical practice of 20 hours a week. And the reason behind the granting that waiver is strictly for these people that don't have the opportunity because of the nature of their position. They don't have that opportunity to practice clinically 20 hours a week on a full-time basis.
Okay. And if I could rephrase that question, so under Section C of the bill, page 2, line 8, where it says, is in good standing with the licensing entity in the jurisdiction where the dentist is currently licensed, that means the dentist has a current license elsewhere and will be allowed to use that license essentially to practice in Alaska?
Not exactly. They will be granted an Alaska license.
Okay.
But they won't be practicing under that license in the other state as a private dentist here.
Thank you.
Dr. Eichler, it'd be safe to assume these people probably won't be practicing anyway, though. Would that be correct?
That's a good possibility. what I'm one of the things I'm trying to do with this bill is allow the state to recognize their contributions to the profession and hopefully attract them to the state because of their nature of the job that they're performing. I think the state of Alaska has a good reason to try to retain high-ranking military officers in the state because they have a lot to offer us.
Any further questions for Dr. Eichler? Thank you very much, Dr. Eichler. Is there anybody else online that would care to testify? Seeing none, is there anybody in the room that would care to testify? Seeing none, I'll close the public testimony and bring it back to the committee for discussion. Representative Newman.
Mr. Chair, I just see this as a way to, again, as like Dr. Eichler just stated, is to provide a further opportunity for people to help Alaskans in a profession that they're aware of them. Whether you have continuous, there's no requirement for continuous education that I'm aware of for dentists that they have to go do all the time. In fact, I know an old boy when I first in Big Lake did my teeth, and I asked him for some of the gel that they put on your jaw before he gave me some Novocaine. He said, "What's that?" You know, and maybe he should have had some, but either way, you know, I think that these people have a lot to offer. I think it's only benefits the opportunity. We don't have enough dentists in the state as it is. He's working on base and can provide some of those functions, and when you're ready, I will be glad to offer a motion to move this bill.
Representative Ledoux.
I don't have any problems with the bill. The bill sounds like a fine bill to me, but I really would like to clarify with a conceptual amendment so that at least they are supervising dentists as opposed to getting into another area of the military.
I thought I saw that in the bill someplace, Karen.
Mr. Chairman, through the chair to Representative Ledoux, on page 2, as it stated, the one change that we are making in the existing statute is that it is or a full-time supervisory position, though this is the statute that deals with the licensing and requirements of dentists. I'm sure that the sponsor would have no problem with you being perfectly happy that it is a supervisory position in some type of dental clinic or dental supervisory position, if that would make it clearer for you.
Would a intent statement from the sponsor?
Well, why don't we just make it a conceptual amendment?
Where do you want to put it?
Put it on page 2, saying something to the effect of full-time supervisory position, supervising dentists in an agency of or the Armed Forces of the United States.
Where on page 2?
Oh. Full-time supervisory position. Line 15, right after position.
Want to repeat it again?
Full-time supervisory position.
And you're making, this is, you're
conceptual
making a motion
amendment,
for an amendment?
Conceptual
number one.
Amendment number one. Full-time supervisory position. Supervising dentists.
What? Dental supervisor? Or, Mr. Chairman?
How about we add dental after supervisory? Line 14.
Full-time.
Full-time.
Ow. Full-time dental supervisory position.
And that's okay, too. It's just conceptual.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Gatto?
Let me just ask about the word full-time. What if you're almost full-time, but 98% full-time, you don't qualify?
I think I can answer this one. In the military, they define full-time. I mean, they don't have to have it in writing. They'll know what full-time is. We're dealing with somebody that's in the military. You know, it could be 20 hours a week, it could be 100 hours a week. They'll know what full-time is. And if it's only one or two people in the state, it's kind of a moot point.
The military doesn't have a project labor agreement.
Representative Ledoux.
So I hate to really be nitpicking this because I do want to get this bill out.
How about dental after full-time on line 14?
That's okay with me, but I'm thinking about another thing now with respect to this full-time. What if somebody was averaging, let's say, 10 hours a week doing actual dentistry, and then the rest of the time being a supervisor for dentists? How would that? Sorry.
We've got an amendment, a conceptual amendment on the table.
You've got to deal with that before you can go into something else.
Is there any opposition to conceptual amendment number one? Seeing none, we passed conceptual amendment number one. You want to go for two?
Well, I don't know whether I want to go for two. I just want to point this out and see whether I have any legitimate concerns here. So let's say that somebody is spending part of their time, like maybe 10 hours a week, that person is practicing dentistry in the military. And then the other part of his time, he is being a supervisor of the dentists in his office. Well, so then he wouldn't either come under the 20 hours or the full-time supervisory position, or would he?
Dr. Eichler, are you still with us?
I am.
You want to take this one?
Yes, I think I can satisfy the representative. Thank you. A dentist that's going to be in the supervisory position may actually operate it clinically any number of hours a week. Some of them, depending on their desires, they'll practice more than 20 hours a week. They'll still be a full-time supervisory of their clinic or their agency. And they could actually qualify either way with the 20 hours a week or the supervisory position, regardless of how much they're practicing. Some don't practice any, some practice a lot. So I think the full-time, they still retain the full-time supervisory position.
Thank you. I'm totally satisfied.
Mr. Chair.
I'm afraid to. Representative Gardner.
If they can work if they want to, and many of them do, and we're talking about one, maybe two at any given time in the whole state, why do we need the bill?
If I may.
Dr. Eichler, I don't have an answer. It's your turn.
If I may, I know of a dentist that didn't qualify for the 20 hours a week, and I think would have been a great addition to our state, and would like to do what I could to retain that type of people up here. I don't want to see one turned away because they can't qualify for a license when I think they're fully qualified or more than qualified.
Thank you.
What are the wishes of the committee? Representative Newman.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill number 383, version /A, alpha from committee, with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations as amended.
Seeing no opposition, this bill will move out of committee, and we're adjourned at 3:35. Thanks again, Dr. Eichler.
Thank you very much.